First of all, thanks for the opportunity to speak today. We'll start with the traditional forward-looking statements slide. In a company like Alcoa, we worry a lot about safety, and I don't want you all rushing outside to buy Alcoa shares after this presentation, so please read that carefully. The intent of my presentation is to give you an overview on Australia's alumina and aluminium industry. I want to talk about global market conditions and what's driving that as we go forward, and you won't be surprised to see that China gets mentioned once or twice in there. And then finally, I'll talk to the key challenge for our industry, and I suspect for other industries too, which is energy and climate change as we go forward. But let me describe a little bit initially about Australia's aluminium industry. We're in every state in Australia apart from the ACT. And here in Western Australia, we've got four alumina refineries, three of Alcoa's and one of Worsley's down near Colley and Bunbury. We've got three bauxite mines, and we're a significant economic contributor. In Australia, we make a quarter of the world's alumina, and we make about 5% of the world's aluminium. We're our fourth biggest exporter after coal, iron ore and petroleum, and we have around about $11 billion worth of exports on an annual basis. About 80% of those earnings are ploughed back into the Australian economy as we go forward. As an employer, we employ around Australia around 60,000 people, both direct and indirect. And we are significant supporters of regional Australia, given where our locations are situated. And like some of the other speakers that we'll talk about today, the impact of our industry on regional Australia is significant. If you look in the WA alumina industry, and we'll start there, the annual output has grown by about 1 million tonnes over the last 5 years, and currently we're sitting at around about 12 million tonnes per annum. The value of that production is around about $4.7 billion, and if you think about that would obviously be a lot higher bar for the Australian dollar being where it is today. And in Western Australia, we produce about 15% of the world's alumina, which is the basic raw material for aluminium as we go forward. And we'd like to continue growing. Worsley has already announced an expansion project to lift their annual capacity from 3.5 to 4.6 million tonnes. And within Alcoa, in late 2006, we had approval to expand our Wagerup refinery, and we're currently doing detailed engineering and design work for that project. We have also just completed a 660,000-tonne expansion of our Pinjarra refinery, which is now a 4.2-million-tonne refinery and one of the biggest in the world. If you look at the industry fundamentals and the growth rates, it's no surprise to anyone to see the growth rate you see in China. Last year it was actually 35%. This year they're down to a lazy 24%. And you can see the impact that has on the world growth rates at 8.5%, given that Europe and North America and Asia without China is effectively contracting, and you can see the impact of the other BRIC countries as you go down through. The key to the driver to that is obviously the urbanisation and infrastructure development as the wealth in those countries grows. Aluminium is a fantastic product for them to continue to add to their transport sector and their building sector and other aspects. And given that it takes 2 tonnes of alumina to make 1 tonne of metal, then obviously as the demand for metal grows, the demand for alumina grows as well. So to give you an idea of where we use aluminium and why it continues to grow, the A380 wouldn't fly without some of the alloys that Alcoa has managed to put in there, similar with the 747, but the aerospace market is a huge market for us. The transport industry going forward, building and construction, packaging, and other aspect, electricals, as we go forward. So as the wealth or the GDP per capita increases in those countries, then obviously the demand for these sorts of products will continue to grow. And West Australia can be a large part of that as we go forward. At the same time, the Chinese have woken up and said, hey, we're not sure we like being dependent on importing alumina, importing aluminium. And their growth rates have been phenomenal. They are formidable competitors. While their productivity isn't where we are today, it's a concern for us that as they go forward, their productivity improves, their cost of production will significantly decrease. In the last 8 years, it's tripled its share of global production. You can see from the graph here that the growth between 2005 and 2010 is around about 60% of that growth. And in the last 3 years, or from 2005, they've increased their production by around 72%. we joke within our companies, but at the time we get our capital approved and get the board on board, that they've built a refinery, built a smelter. As they become more efficient, as I say, that continues to raise challenges for us as we go forward. If you look at the demand growth in the future, it's the thing that fascinates me on this graph is you look at 2007, the world needed 38 million tonnes of aluminium. In 2017, in 10 years' time, it will need double that, or close to double that. But China and Asia will in fact be using as much as the world uses today. So it is a huge growth, and I'm sure as you hear from other speakers that China will be a major player as we go through that. But there's a very healthy growth. We expect the cumulative annual growth rate to be around 6% on an ongoing basis. And as I said, most of that will be in China and Asia as we go forward. From our industry point of view, there's some wonderful opportunities, but there's some cost challenges as we go forward. The graph we've got here shows the growth, the percentage increase in what we get for our product in the blue bars. So effectively, our product has doubled in value over the last 2 years. But you can see some of the input prices, the impact of the Australian dollar affects our competitiveness. If we're in the smelting business, coke and pitch are both all derivative products. You can see what they've gone up, fluorspar, shipping costs, and obviously we are an energy-intensive business and the use of caustic and others have had significant impacts on our business. The critical issue for us, though, is energy and climate change, and I'll talk about that. If you look at the cost structure that we have, if you're making a tonne of aluminium, about a quarter of your costs are energy. So we have always been very focused on reducing energy costs. And if you consider aluminium smelting, given that alumina is a large part of the cost structure, while the direct energy cost is about 19%, if you add the alumina, the electricity and alumina, the cost of making aluminium is about 30%. So we've been very focused on that, and for our industry and for Australia, energy sustainability in the long term and the availability of energy is critical to us. And that's undoubtedly been reinforced for a lot of us from the Varanus outage that we've had recently. So we continue to promote that we need long-term strategies on diversity of gas supply and long-term energy strategies for Australia to ensure that industries in this country continue to grow. And hopefully the world is thinking 50 to 100 years out and Australia is doing the same. Given that we use a lot of energy, we've worked very hard on reducing energy. And since 1990, if you look at the Australian aluminium industry, 23% of the energy usage has disappeared. So we've improved our efficiency by 23%. We actually share with China, given that we've got six smelters here and in China there's about 160, we actually share with China some of that technology to reduce their energy impact as well, because we think that's good for the overall industry as we go forward. If we look at the way we run our business, it's obviously part of everybody's job on a daily, weekly basis to manage energy. It's a large cost. It's part of our values to reduce our greenhouse gas footprint as we go on. Our R&D group and our technologists continue looking for ways to reduce energy as we go forward. We run in Alcoa a partnership with Greening Australia around Make an Impact, where we challenge all of our employees to look at their energy footprint and what they can do to reduce it as we go forward. And things like cogen, which doubles the efficiency or in terms of using the energy within a gas stream, a large part of our operations. As we go forward, we not only talk about it, we do a lot about it. In 1998, for example, we challenged our organisation to reduce our energy usage by 25% from our 1990 levels, and we did that. We achieved that in 2003, and so far we've reduced our energy usage within Alcoa by 33% in our smelting areas. In the US, our CEO, Alain Belder, actually went to George Bush and said, hey, it's about time the US government got on with energy, with greenhouse gas and reductions and emissions trading schemes, along with the CEOs of big companies like IBM and GE and DuPont and others going forward. And within Australia, we absolutely support the introduction of a national emissions trading scheme. We think it's important, while balancing the need to ensure that industries like ours and some of the other speakers continue to be competitive going forward. And some of the logic I'd give you is that if we make a tonne of alumina in Australia, it uses about a half to a third of the energy and the greenhouse gas footprint of alumina made in China. So it would be a ridiculous outcome to see jobs disappear from Australia with an adverse environmental outcome. So that's the balancing act that the government has to find, and obviously we're a very large part of that debate. I'll quickly touch on the green paper that has come out. I'm sure all of you have been examining that, a nice 500-page after-dinner read. The initial aspect of the green paper that obviously got our attention is that smelting would receive permits for around 90% of its baseline emissions. We get that because we are a trade-exposed industry. Our competitors in places like China and Russia and Brazil and India and other places, if we're to remain competitive with a globally traded commodity, then obviously we can't afford to just soak that up because we can't pass on the price increases. Similar alumina refinery has been earmarked at this stage for 60% baseline emissions in terms of credits. And I'd like to make three comments. The first comment I'd make on that is that they are still significant financial imposts on our business compared to our competitors. And if we're going to continue to add the value we do in Australia and continue to promote the manufacturing jobs and support regional Australia and the communities in which we operate, that's still a big issue for us. We cannot pass on those cost increases. The second point I need to make is we need certainty on permit coverage. As we go forward, if we're going to invest in businesses in Australia, we need to know what the trajectory is, and we need to make sure that we are comfortable, or we can make our board comfortable, about investing in this part of the world going forward. And any shielding for emissions-intensive trade-exposed industries will fail if the allocations are eroded too quickly. There's got to be time for adjustment. And finally, something that a lot of people don't talk about but is important, and I'd ask this group to take note of too, we need to make sure that the industry is not hit by further cost increases under a national renewable energy target. Under this scheme, if you fail to meet those targets, then you have to purchase renewable energy credits. So a 20% national renewable energy target would expose the aluminium industry and the aluminium industry to very large cost increases, and frankly, we can't afford to continue to soak those sorts of things up. So we need to make sure that governments continue to understand that while we support the emissions trading scheme, we need to make sure that they understand the double impact of a national renewable energy target on top of an emissions trading scheme would be very problematic for a lot of our businesses. Having said that, we also know we have a responsibility to be a leader and to make sure that we continue to find ways to improve energy efficiencies and reduce emissions as we go forward. So in conclusion, this is a product that will continue to grow. It's endlessly recyclable. The cost of making aluminium out of a recycled piece of aluminium the energy usage is about 5% of the original manufacturing. So we in Alcoa are continuing and with the Aluminium Association to look at ways of getting more efficient about recycling, because this is the product the world needs because of its lightweight products and lightweight properties as we go forward. There are enormous opportunities for Australia to be part of the growth and demand for aluminium as we go forward, and particularly for the West Australian alumina producers where we have good resources of alumina. At the same time, all of us have the cost pressures that everybody's aware of and I talked about previously. And similarly, we have to make sure that any emissions trading scheme as we go forward supports not only the reduction of energy or supports the improvement of energy usage and the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, but also supports the ongoing investment of industry in Australia and the ongoing support of those jobs in Australia that investment supports. It's very, very important we get this right. It's a terrifically difficult challenge for the government as we go forward, but we'll continue to make sure we represent the interests of industry as we go forward to make sure that the communities in which we operate continue to have sustainable futures. And that's where I'd like to wrap up. So thank you very much for the opportunity to talk here today.